we were spared the catastrophe of catastrophes. And before many months went by, the revolt embraced the whole people. The persecutors and persecuted of yesterday went out to battle together to a common battle for our people and our country. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 183, Revolt, the Season, and Jewish Unity. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. One of my favorite photos of Menachem Begin is one taken when he was the most wanted man in British Mandate Palestine. It is a photo of Begin bedecked in a black hat with a long beard. The explanation for this photo lies in what occurred in Begin's life following his release from Soviet prison. After serving in the Polish army, which brought him to the Holy Land, he assumed the leadership of the organization known colloquially as the Irgun, or Etzel, Irgun Tzvai Leumi, the military organization affiliated with the followers of Jabotinsky, and in 1944 announced a revolt against British rule in the Holy Land. This led to him speedily becoming the most wanted man in the British Mandate. Going underground, Begin chose as an alias first the name Yisrael Halpern, and by 1945 he became Yisrael Sassover, assuming the identity of a pious Orthodox Jew, an irregular worshiper in a local synagogue in a Tel Aviv neighborhood. Begin writes in his memoir, quote, "My beard and the status it conferred on me also imposed certain obligations in my new surroundings. On the very first day, I was asked by Reb Simcha, the genial beadle of a nearby synagogue, to come along and make up the quorum at prayers in a house where a death had taken place. Immediately thereafter, I was invited to become a regular participant at prayers in the synagogue," end quote. Begin further tells us that, quote, "I used to attend regularly the lessons in Talmud and biblical commentaries given every Sabbath afternoon by the rabbi, and also that they gave me my regular place, and thenceforth I became one of them," end quote. Begin thus assumed the cover of a man who spent much of his time in prayer and religious devotion while he was leading a revolt against the British. Begin further tells us in a humorous story about his being called up as Yisrael Sassover to the Torah, his being given, as it is called, an aliyah. Quote, "On the first Sabbath after our arrival, I was honored, as befits a newcomer, by being called up to the reading of the law. The good warden asked what my name was. I was afraid to mention my first name, lest in combination with my father's name, it might recall something to somebody. I said hesitantly, Israel, the son of Zev Dov. I picked Israel, I suppose, because of the deep affection which bound me to my very close friend Israel Epstein. Thenceforward, until I left the underground, I was always called up by that name. I must ask forgiveness from the Almighty by dissembling my real name, even in divine services. But he will understand that in the circumstances, I had no choice," end quote. I'm sure that God did not hold this against Menachem Begin, as for some time, he was called up to the Torah as Yisrael Sassover, with the Hebrew words, Ya'amod Yisrael ben Zev Dov, arise, Israel, son of Zev Dov. Now, suffice it to say that if, for example, Moshe Dayan or some other young Sabra of similar background had sought to seamlessly fit into the Orthodox community in Tel Aviv, I do not think that that person could have done it. As I've argued in many contexts in my Tikva discussions about Begin, there is in truth something fitting that this image of Menachem Begin as Yisrael Sassover endures, because it testifies to his roots, to the city of his birth, known to Jews as Brisk. As we have seen, Menachem Begin there was taught Zionism by his parents, and Brisk was also where he was taught in his home and in his synagogue the liturgy and practices transmitted throughout the Jewish past, as well as a love of Judaism and a covenantal connection to Jewish generations. And this connection to the Jewish people was made manifest in 1944, a moment that, rightly understood, was one of the greatest moments in his life. It was in early 1944, after it was becoming clear that the Allies were winning the war, that Menachem Begin, the newly minted leader of the Irgun, chose to declare a revolt against British authority in the Holy Land. The British had betrayed the promise of the Balfour Declaration by closing the gates to Eretz Yisrael precisely when the Jews of Europe most desperately needed those gates to be opened. The closing of Eretz Yisrael to the Jews helped ensure their doom and effectively signaled in the 1939 White Paper that the British government would not continue to support the Zionist project. Begin issued a proclamation of revolution, and I share with you some excerpts from it, as cited in Avi Shilon's biography of Begin. Here are some of the lines from the statement. Quote, "We are nearing the final stage of the war. We are facing a decision that will change the fate of generations to come. The ceasefire announced at the beginning of World War II has been broken by the British. The rulers of our land did not take loyalty, concessions, or sacrifices into account. They have fulfilled and are still moving forward with their plan, the elimination of national Zionism." And he added, "The establishment of a Jewish government that will achieve its goals is the only way to save our people, to save our lives and our honor." Further stating that, "Hebrews, the fighting youth will not be deterred by the victims of war and pain, blood and suffering. They shall not surrender and they shall not rest as long as they are unable to bring back a time when our people had a land of their own, freedom, dignity, bread, justice, and law." End quote. Given that the war was still ongoing, Begin issued an order to the Irgun that no British military units were to be attacked, and therefore the Irgun initially focused on striking and confiscating arms from British police stations. Then, before Yom Kippur of 1944, the Irgun announced that any British soldiers seeking to hamper the blowing of the shofar at the Kotel on the Day of Atonement would be held to account. And for the first time in over a decade, Jews succeeded in observing this ritual on Yom Kippur undisturbed, a sign that the Irgun was having an impact. Then, a group known as Lehi, or Lochamei Chirut Yisrael, which was wholly separate from Begin's Irgun, and which was led by a man who would later be known by the Israeli name Yitzhak Shamir, assassinated in Egypt the British official Lord Moyne, who represented Britain in Middle Eastern matters. After this event, Ben-Gurion ordered the specialized military group known as the Palmach to engage in an operation known as the Saison, or Season, in which these Jewish soldiers, at the order of Ben-Gurion, participated with the British in seeking to capture members of the Irgun, even though it was Lehi and not the Irgun that had assassinated Lord Moyne, and even though Begin himself was greatly upset by this Lehi operation. Avi Shilon, in his biography of Begin, writes as follows about Ben-Gurion ordering an operation against the Irgun, also known as Etzel. Quote, "The major reason for Ben-Gurion's attitude toward Etzel was his quest for political gain. He was also motivated by a desire to prevent Begin from gaining more power in the Yishuv, as he was aware of the growing sympathy for Begin's actions among the youth." End quote. Thus, in an operation waged within the Yishuv, meaning the Jewish population in the Holy Land, members of the Palmach, at the order of Ben-Gurion, rounded up members of the Irgun. The followers of Begin were taken captive and abused by their fellow Jews. Avi Shilon further writes as follows, quote, "The Saison was designed to break Etzel's spirit. Its members were beaten up, some were handed over to the British, and most were jailed in detention rooms prepared in advance in several kibbutzim. One detention room was prepared in Ein Harod. At the edge of the farm, near the cowshed, was a large barn, inside of which an elongated hut was built and hidden beneath the hay. The hut was sealed so that light would not penetrate it, and the entrance through a small door was also hidden behind bales of hay. The abductees were kept in the dark around the clock and could not distinguish day from night. For good measure, they were tied to their beds." End quote. The Palmach also identified many members of the Irgun to the British. At this point, one might have expected that the natural response of Irgun members would be to fight back, to take revenge on their fellow Jews that had assaulted them. But we also know, as we have seen in this series, that it is just such a civil war that thousands of years earlier had brought Jewish Jerusalem to its knees during the revolt launched against Rome. Menachem Begin remembered this. He remembered the lesson of Second Temple Jerusalem. And he writes in his memoir, The Revolt, that even though there were those of his followers who desired revenge, he prohibited it. Quote, "It cannot be denied that there were among us many who pressed for the adoption of this policy. They adduced legal, moral, and practical arguments. A fighting underground has its own laws, one of which is that the informer must pay with his life. Was it moral, argued the comrades, that we, who were prepared to give our lives for our people, should be persecuted by our kinsmen and without any attempt to retaliate on our tormentors?" End quote. And yet Begin still prohibited revenge. He prohibited retaliation. And he explains why this order was obeyed. Quote, "We dared not destroy our faith by opening a bloody abyss between those who were still brothers and might yet become comrades in arms. We saw our people in Europe in the endless procession of death. We saw the ghettos going up in flames. We saw the oppressor plotting against us all. And from down the corridors of history, we heard the echo of those other wars, the cursed internecine wars in dying Jerusalem 19 centuries before. The underground cellar is a high watchtower. Not logic, but instinct said imperatively, no. Not civil war, not that at any price. And who knows, perhaps instinct is the very heart of logic. This dreadful situation continued for many months. We said there would be no civil war, but in fact, throughout the whole country, a one-sided civil war raged. End quote. Thus, there was, as it were, a one-sided civil war, but not a two-sided civil war, because Begin prohibited his soldiers from fighting back against their fellow Jews. This passage from the revolt is one that I quote often, because we can now understand how it is so central to the story of Jerusalem that we are telling. Almost 2,000 years before Jerusalem fell because of civil war, and almost 2,000 years after Jerusalem fell, Jewish soldiers refused to engage in civil war. Reflecting on his soldiers, Begin added, quote, "I saw them in their anguish and I was tormented with them, but I also saw them in their greatness and I was proud of them." Discipline, what is military discipline, discipline in action, compared with this discipline of inaction, when your whole soul cries out for retaliation and retribution? A human order would have been of no avail here. The order came from somewhere, from the depths of Jewish history, and it was obeyed. We were spared the catastrophe of catastrophes, and before many months went by, the revolt embraced the whole people. The persecutors and persecuted of yesterday went out to battle together, to a common battle for our people and our country. End quote. What Begin means by these final sentences is that by the middle of 1945, Ben-Gurion, as we shall soon see, joined Begin in ordering a rebellion against the British. And the Palmach, that special military unit working under Ben-Gurion's leadership, the very same Palmach that had targeted the Irgun, suddenly began to work hand in hand with the Irgun. This will be discussed in episodes to come. By this time in 1945, Begin had become Yisrael Sassover, the synagogue-attending pious Jew. But he had already shown before this, in November of 1944, that he understood profoundly the bond joining Jew to Jew. He had shown that he had remembered how civil war had undone Jewish Jerusalem almost 2 millennia before, and he had shown how he understood that ultimately the Holy Land and Jerusalem is meant to remind Jews of the bond that they share. The refusal of Begin to engage in civil war saved the Zionist project. And this desire to prevent civil war would, as we will see, save the Zionist project again in 1948. And so we can think in our mind of a deeper meaning behind the words that might have been used in the synagogue when Menachem Begin, as Yisrael Sassover, was called to the Torah. The words uttered would have been, Ya'amod Yisrael, arise, O Israel. So it would rise in the years to come. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.